I've always been interested in being of service. I think the worst thing someone could be is not be useful.
Never quit. Never quit. Never quit radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the TNQ podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Luttrell. Every week, it's my job to fire you up, to ignite the legend inside of you, and to push you to your greatness. Join me every week as I take you into my briefing room with some of the most hard-charging people on the planet. They're going to show you how to embrace the suck of life, teach you the values of working your ass off, and charge through whatever life throws at you. This is the Team Never Quit podcast. So buckle up, Buttercup.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Team Never Quit podcast. As always, thank you guys for listening and watching, and please don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button wherever you get your show. So today, before we get to our very special guests, let's kick it off with our usual Patreon question of the day. And today's is, what is your New Year's resolution?
Gosh, I haven't even thought about mine yet.
I feel like we're way too early for that one. Still, Christmas hasn't set in.
This episode will air after Christmas.
Okay.
I have the same one every year. Do you know?
I'll kick it off.
Yeah.
I don't make resolutions. Okay. I set standards.
I like it. Strong woman.
I'm glad
woman.
You went first because now mine's just shifted in my head. And I'm
so we do not in our family. Yeah. We do not set goals. We set standards as a guidepost for how we operate.
I like it. Spoken like a true, very strong alpha woman.
I try to keep my Christmas spirit my Christ spirit all year. Mm. The kick is, hey, how you doing, right? And I mean, just in every situation I go in, try to kick that back. One year I lost it the day after Christmas. Something pissed me off.
And you still remember that because there's been many Christmases.
I absolutely
Christmases,
do because I was fired up about it and it was the most little thing. And then I've made it to the middle of the year and I made it. And now I because something happened. We were on a trip and something aggravated me and I'm hard on myself about it, actually. So it's always the same year. I was like, hey, man, I'm just going to try to keep that great attitude till we get back to this moment.
Because when he gets in a mood, he doesn't like have an outburst. He gets quiet. Like real, real quiet.
I feel like it's a team guy thing.
Yeah, it is a 100% a team guy thing.
Yeah, yep. But it makes everybody else uncomfortable.
Yeah, totally.
Like, so uncomfortable.
That's how you know how team guys are thinking. When they get quiet and they get, I was like,
what's wrong?
What's up? If we're barking like seals, that's why they call us that, then throw us a ball, we'll play. It doesn't matter, cold water. But yeah, it's something for sure.
I usually do set a resolution and I try to make it something that I can actually accomplish. I don't like setting something that I know I'm going to fail in. And I think for this year, I need to be more organized. That's my downfall. I am a throw it and forget about it kind of person. So I really just need to work on my organization. And that is going to be my resolution for this year.
I would never say that you were unorganized.
Yeah, I'm just thinking she's like, Melanie's like, I respond to the emails, I do this. I'm thinking that maybe organization is not the thing.
It runs in different categories, though, because some people, they're freaking, that is so squared away. Yeah. That is squared away. And then whatever other part of that life is, I think you got to have it. It's that
offset,
man.
Well, I compartmentalize. So in certain things, I'm very organized and I get shit done, like really, I'm on top of it. But then there's like my car.
I was going to say your car
too. Oh,
let's make that
it.
Step one.
So, when I made the bed this morning, I literally walked in your room to put your house shoes in your closet and I laughed out loud. It looks like an avalanche.
So my car and my closet are the two. That's what I'm talking about. My car and my closet. Because everything else in my life, I have very organized.
Yes.
But those are the two areas where I'm like, don't touch.
Nope. I got a solution for it.
Okay.
You hire an organizer.
Yeah.
Put a system in place and be done with it.
So I do have someone that helps me with that. But then I'm like, they get it done. They get the system done. And then throughout the year, I tend to just push things aside.
Oh, hey, let me tell you something. The first time I ever saw her, when y'all switch, you know, like when team guy does something, you kind of just, I organized her wallet. It was just sitting there. And I I think I had a back surgery, and she, you know, I didn't have anything to do. And I pulled all, put all the IDs in order, put the from $1 to $5 to $10 bills in order, organized all the receipts. She saw that I had done that, and I thought.
I flipped.
Yeah, of
I
mean, course you flipped. Of course.
No idea, I know where everything is. Yeah,
exactly. If you guys would stop touching everything, yes. We would be able to operate and get everything. Yeah. So you didn't realize this, but you have now invited a team guy wife on your podcast. So now it's just all over.
No.
He learned his lesson.
Well, here's the benefit. Yeah. This is what's so beautiful about this. Since I was new to the realm, I appreciate the fact that there's my brothers out there that are suffering like I am. Because nothing throws us off more than that.
Yeah.
And you got to, the best way it was explained to me is that we were so fortunate enough to be assignment. So mm-hmm. like the admiral was like, hey, I'm going to pull you two off the line. I get to marry her. He got to marry you. Mm-hmm. They outrank you.
Yeah.
You can't yell back. You can't be nothing. You can team guy and go and do that outside. But you're for protection and enforcement. That's right. They want to go to a baseball game. Your ass is driving. You're not.
I wish Shane could hear this.
He will. He's hearing it right now. This is how they had to explain it to me. And when I saw it like that,
oh man,
then it went
so funny.
Like, okay, so as a team guy, that'd be the best assignment ever. Like you were so squared away, they pulled you off combat line. You got to go and watch out for them.
But don't tell us what to do. You just need to watch out for us.
It's whatever they say.
So wait a second, though. I travel for work. And I left Shane with, for the listener, we have a 2.5 and a 4.5. I left for work. I called him, FaceTime. Everybody is screaming. And I'm like, honey, you're a SEAL. You got this. He's like, Afghanistan was easier. Get home. Like, I cannot do this.
I said, that has nothing to do with this, right? It's like, that's completely out the window. I learned from scratch. Every book that you read, we were joking about this the other day. Like if some guy's like, hey, there's a great book on how you should be with your wife and how to treat her. I was like, who wrote that? Some other dude about his wife? Because if you try to implement that will on someone, that doesn't work. It's literally, you're like, you have been trained as a team guy to be a specialist. Like, roll with it. And for suck it up. You know what I'm talking about? Because every time I would try to complain, it was to the dude didn't care. He's like, son, this is life. This is what you have to do. And I was like, well... Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so we learned early on, he doesn't mess with my car, my purse, my closet. And those are the only areas that are total chaos. Everything else is in order. So I'm going to work on that this year. That's my resolution.
God, I feel like we went on a tangent about
that. Yeah, a little bit.
All right, sorry.
All right, so to kick it off, we have Dr. Gabrielle Lyon, and I'm so excited to have you on. I've heard so much about you from our friends, and I've watched your YouTube videos and different interviews that you've done, and I love what you do and what you stand for, and you are a fellow sister, so yes. I'm excited to finally meet you and have you on the show.
Yeah, I'm so grateful to be here, and I was just saying, you know, there's something very special about Team Guy families, and it's like we're just... all part of the same big thing.
Yeah. So if you'll just take us back to where you're from and give us a little back history on you.
Yeah. Obviously my name is Gabrielle Lyon, and some people call me other things, but I'll just stick with a Lyon.
Does anyone call you Gabby?
No. I was thinking of other 4 or 5 letter words, but we'll just stick with that. I am a fellowship trained physician. I have a somewhat of a unique perspective in the way that a lot of physicians come to a point in their career that they switch practice. They switch practice because they saw a better way. And I would say that I had a moment of that, but I was lucky enough. I graduated high school at 17, moved in with my godmother, who happened to be a real trailblazer. She was a PhD in nutritional sciences.
Where's this at? Texas? Where are you?
No, so I'm from Chicago.
Okay.
And I graduated high school early, so I graduated in 3.5 years.
Like Chicago, Chicago?
Yeah, like Chicago, Chicago. But I did go to high school in the suburbs, and I moved to Hawaii.
Oh, how fun.
To Kauai. And worked for room and board. You know, I really think that my mom just wanted me out of the house. I was a pretty
aggressive. That's a good one.
That's a big move.
She didn't. Yeah, so she moved.
Because that's not even Hawaii or Oahu. Yeah. That's completely Hawaii's different island.
Far. She probably would have sent me to a different planet, but we we pretty much agreed on Hawaii.
Oh my gosh.
And I moved in with this PhD in nutritional sciences, and this is. You know, you hear a lot about, especially now, this alternative way of thinking about things, that things are preventative, that food is medicine, et cetera. But before that was a thing, there were a group of thought leaders that had to put that into practice. And she happened to be one of those people. So I became obsessed with nutrition.
They usually stem from people who come up in the world of to make themselves better in that, mm-hmm. like with athletes. Like, yep. How can I get strong? How can yep. I? How can I fine tune this thing?
Yep.
And then no one wants to hear it. We are our own worst enemies. Sometimes it's good. That means something can't come in and immediately take over. So, but then some things are so good, and you know they absolutely work, and we still make them wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's frustrating a lot of times, especially for us. We set our own rules on that.
Yep.
But the passion you have to have, that's what drives. That's how you know someone's good at it.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and I never changed my direction. So from 17 to where I am now, my direction never changed. I studied nutritional sciences and was lucky enough to train under one of the world-leading experts in protein metabolism.
Oh, wow.
And was able to create a kind of medicine, which is cool. But fast forward to when I finished, I thought I wanted to work with athletes. Mm. I got there, started working with these athletes, and I couldn't have been more disinterested, which brought me
for
to
what reason?
The, and I say this cautiously because I still work with some, but the attitude, the, you know, and then I'll get into how I fell into working with the military. I was very unimpressed with the physical ability to be good at sport. And, you know, someone might be listening and be like, well, she's an asshole because it's amazing to be good
at
sport.
Don't worry about all that.
But there was something in the purpose of what they were doing that, and the way in which I was watching the dynamics. Not saying that all athletes treat people, but it was very self, it was about the self. And I wasn't interested in that. Mm-hmm. And it really was off-putting as a young physician that it wasn't a population that I was primarily interested in.
Well, there's definitely a clear difference between those athletes that have that natural gift where they never really had to try very hard and they're total prima donnas by the time they get to be pro, whether it's Olympians or NFL or whatever it is. And then there's those athletes that have to work their ass off that are so humble.
Totally.
And
they're not athletes. That's why that happens.
They're like fighters. They truly are.
Yes.
They share the mentality as like a fighter. And a lot of them are huge military supporters because they have that same kind of mindset. And Marcus goes to Exos every year. It's a physical rehabilitation place and strength and conditioning place kind of molded into one in Pensacola. And so we get to meet a lot of athletes through that. And I've seen that very clear difference of the guy that gets a jammed toe and he's crying.
So that's actually what happened. Someone jammed a finger.
Yeah.
And they were, I mean, it was so dramatic. And I'm like, this is not my patient population.
Yeah.
This is not who I'm going to serve.
I had to learn how to, and the difference came from, I was military first and went into it with the athletes. And then you truly see what drives you. Mm-hmm. Like, what's driving that thing? Mm-hmm. So is it naturally gifted that it can just do that sport with minimal drive?
Yeah.
Or is the spirit driving that thing?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, do they believe they can do that? Because it doesn't matter what it's wrapped in.
Yeah.
The power of belief. That means whatever something in there can do it. And it got wrapped in something that can't. That doesn't matter. You'll figure out a way.
Yes.
Right? So when you see guys get hurt or girls get hurt and they kind of like, oh, it must be your gift is your body then.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And when it gets injured, they don't know how to deal with that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I never saw that. Like, you know, you don't think, at least I didn't. I didn't see everyone as different like that. I was like, hey, man, you're in there. You're trying hard because that's what I had. I had to gut it out. Like, I was just, but you need the ones in there that have that natural talent because they look good doing it. there's something to that, man. Like Usain Bolt and all of them, when they run, I hate running. But when I watch someone do that, I'm like, oh, I feel like jogging.
Like, oh, I'm going to go try that.
It's kind of like when Bob Ross paints. Like, I know I can't do that, but for whatever
reason. But you kind of think you can when you see it.
Yeah. That's how you know you've run across a master. Is when they can do their thing in front of you, and you're like, not only can he, I can do it. Just by, he made it seem that freaking easy. You'll go buy everything before you even try it.
Yep, and then you do it, and you're
how great are they?
That looks like a stick figure.
Not right. I was like, didn't look at anything. I was listening to everything you said.
Total hard pass on that. Yeah,
that's the best part. When you get in there, he's like, "Hey, what walked in the door? Let's just check this out and see it kind of unfold." And then when they, I didn't know that when you're young, you can't.
That's funny.
I think you only see what you are.
So how long were you in Kauai? Because that's such a great place to be when you're health, you know, focused. The food is so fresh and so good. We've been once. And
she loves bad food.
I freaking love Hawaii.
I mean, she might have been out there in a former life or something.
I think I was. That's all I hear. I love it. And I love the food. It's so good and everything's so healthy. And I love it. I could live there.
I was there a year. I was there a year and changed the trajectory of my life. And I knew that there was a better way. So I've always been interested in being of service. Mm-hmm. I think the worst thing someone could be is not be useful to a person sitting next to you. And I know that that might seem silly, but I was there. I then went to train in nutritional sciences. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think about being a doctor until I was at the University of Illinois. And have you been to Illinois? Lots of cornfields, lots of tornadoes. There was a tornado warning. We had to go to a fallout shelter for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here thinking, wow, if shit really went down, I'm completely useless right now. I am training.
That's where you see that.
But I'm
that's where that gets unveiled, right? And
so we're all sitting down here and I'm thinking, okay, if there's an emergency here, what can I do? I'm training to become a nutrition expert. I'm going to say, here, have an apple. We're in the middle of an emergency, but I can give you an apple. And I had this aha moment where I knew I wanted to go to medicine because I wanted to really be able to have additional tools.
I like it.
Yeah.
So did you make that change then?
Immediately.
Oh, wow.
So I studied nutritional sciences, then went to medical school.
Okay, family, are they wired like you are? Because a lot of people, when they see something, they're like, hey, we're just doing it.
Yeah.
It's like if something comes up, there is no right now, later. There's right now. There's not tomorrow or anything. That kind of ambition. Did you have that as a kid?
So my dad is what one would consider a genius. So he went to Wharton. He graduated third in his class. Was captain of the wrestling team. Was a mathematician.
Triple threat.
Yeah. So he was.
What's that like?
Yeah. Well, actually, he's a mountain man in Ecuador.
Oh wow.
Hide those guys right there, right?
He went through some pretty significant trauma and left everything. And just left the entire westernized society.
So you got a great story.
Yeah.
Went into the mountains.
Oh, my God.
But when you ask me, is everyone in my family as driven, I would say there's definitely unique stock. My sister is a PhD. She's a professor in criminology.
Oh, wow.
And policing and all this stuff.
How cool.
Yeah.
She loves that stuff too.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you change your whole trajectory just based off of an incident in a fallout shelter.
Well, I knew that nutritional sciences was important, but there had to be more. And so I went to medical school. Then after medical school, I did 2 years of psychiatry residency. Then I did 3 years of family medicine. And then I did a 2-year fellowship in nutritional sciences and geriatrics. And ultimately what the combination of it is it's medicine with lifestyle intervention. And ultimately I had one other aha moment that changed everything for me. I was always interested in being fit. I was always interested in thinking about these diseases of aging and look at our society. Mm-hmm. It's a mess. And I was in my fellowship that I didn't want to do. I did a geriatric fellowship, which is over the age of 65, nursing homes, dementia care units. Like, it's rough. And it really shows you your mortality at a young age. So here I am, a young physician, seeing these people. Sure. You know, you're seeing 30 patients a day. 20 of them are never going to make it out of the hospital. You know? So in the morning, and
that's
by the way,
a different kind of medicine altogether.
This is palliative care. This is end of life. This is not... And by the way, this is not what I wanted to do.
The ones that work in that field. Ugh.
So here was the deal. So Marcus, here was the deal. Is that in order for me to further my nutritional science training, I had to be able to do something in medicine because you have to get funding. And the funding spot that was open for me was geriatrics. So in the mornings, I did obesity medicine research. And in the evenings, I did the same thing. We did brain imaging, et cetera. And then during the day, I would see all these older patients. And I was working on the interface between body composition and brain function. Okay, so I'll shorten the story, but this is a moment that changed everything. She was a mom of three kids, always put herself last. She struggled with the same 20 to 30 pounds, doing exactly what general medicine had told her to do. Eat less, exercise more. And I imaged her brain. I fell in love with this woman, right? Like, so bubbly, so incredible. I imaged her brain. Her brain looked like the beginning of the brains of the Alzheimer's patients that I was seeing.
Mm. How old was she?
In her mid-50s.
Oh, wow.
And I have this moment. Like, what the fuck are we doing? We're telling people to do these things. She's following it.
Oh, yeah.
We're not telling them the right information. Mm-hmm. And so I am a bit obsessive in the way that I think about things. And I started thinking, what was the same thing? How would I go and ask these other physicians, how is she, you know, trying to lose weight, do these things? And they told me it was the standard of care. Eat less, exercise more. And then I realized that the one thing that all my patients had in common wasn't this obesity issue that everyone was saying it is. It was that they all had unhealthy skeletal muscle. It wasn't that they were overfat. It wasn't that we have an obesity issue. What we have is a midlife muscle crisis. And then at the end of the day, we've been focusing on the wrong problem. And if we are to ever get better at any kind of problem, and I know this is a January episode, so everyone is going to be thinking about body changes, fitness, etc.
This is when we do it.
Mm-hmm. This is when we do it.
This is when everyone does it.
Everybody does it. And the one thing that I really want to impart on people, there's really two things. Number one, we don't have an obesity epidemic. The idea of focusing on what you have to lose is not the right thing. Mm-hmm. It's all about what you have to gain, and what you have to gain is skeletal muscle and the person you become by being dedicated and going through that process is more than physical.
I'm back to the woman that was kind of the groundbreaking idea for this. Did you discover that and be able to help her implement that?
I couldn't because she was a research participant.
Oh.
But I vowed to myself, and she was in a study, mm-hmm. but I knew that going forward, I was never going to let another patient go through that process again if I had anything to do with it.
So do you think someone that's at that point where if you met that woman today and you were able to implement what you know now for her, do you think it would actually help? Like, would the brain imaging regress?
I don't know if the brain imaging would regress, but it certainly would help from getting worse.
Okay.
And then also all the diseases that we're thinking about, everyone talks about cardiovascular disease, diabetes, cancer, et cetera, insulin resistance. These are not diseases of obesity. Mm-hmm. They're diseases of skeletal muscle first.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, I was talking with somebody about this the other day. At a certain age, we stop going to the ground. When you're born, when we're born, you have baby muscles. When you're older, they have them again.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, you stop going all the way to the ground. Now, jiu-jitsu and all that stuff, that's different. Right. If you see an older person that does that, they look. But the exterior muscles become so powerful that they squash those interior muscles just by going to the ground, stand up. When I went to Exos, I mean, they threw me in there. There's nothing left. That's how they started me.
Marcus started going to Exos after his first.
That's how I had to start. I baby-stepped it back.
Yes.
And the biggest thing that I noticed, and this is the best part about being in the program, is that there were phases of when you were going to be in peak maximum shape and then when you weren't. So you kind of got used to that.
Yeah.
And you weren't freaking out when you were out of shape.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is a routine. Like, first, just walk to the gym for a couple weeks just to get there.
Yeah.
I mean, not work out, because if you just don't even have that routine and you walk in there and something kicks your ass, your body, by design, will be like, I don't want to go in there. It'll talk to the mind.
Totally.
There's three different things going on in here.
Yep.
Most people don't know that men's fat, that we store our fat on the inside of our muscles and women store it on the outside. So the fact that you look like that means that you have to work twice as hard as, and it takes longer to show. Most people don't know that. Like, we can work out for 2 weeks and you can see it in a second. Y'all have to work out for four almost just to show that. Not only that, you have to hold it, which is, this place is not designed for that. 2 weeks, you're shifting into something else if it's not a, if it's not uniform. That's the best part about, or the humor in God, if mm-hmm. you will. Like, how can you work out that hard and in 24 hours it wants to do something different, right?
Yeah.
No one ever explained that to me like that. I'm like, I get in the gym and work out. I'm like, oh, okay, but it doesn't want to do that. Right?
You're like, oh, yeah. It's not it doesn't working want to, that right?
So
way.
If you tell it, if yeah, you tell yeah. them that, and they're like, oh, it doesn't? Yeah, no, it's baby steps, man. We got to.
Totally. You know, the biggest piece of advice, you know, as people are thinking about the new year, is number one, you got to plan for your human weaknesses. Do not be surprised that you don't want to go to the gym. Do not be surprised that you're going to fall off.
Right?
Everybody is shocked. Everyone's shocked. Like, yeah, no kidding you.
No kidding.
So you plan for that.
Yeah.
You plan for when you're traveling.
Oh, yeah.
Don't eat like an asshole. You yeah. plan for it. I know it sounds crazy. You pack your food. You plan for your weaknesses. And then you don't succumb to them. And then people always ask me about nutrition, right? And the key, and actually that's why I wrote this book, Forever Strong, which was a labor of love. 2 babies, 2 years with a husband in medical school. So Shane had transitioned out of the teams and was in medical school. And I wrote this book so that everybody could read it. It could be for you. It could be for a doctor. It could be for anybody so that you can take health within your own hands. And there's a lot of misinformation in the nutrition space. Mm-hmm. Prioritize dietary protein. No, broccoli is not the same as a cow. It just isn't. No, red meat is not killing the planet. Mm-hmm. You eat for strength. And everything else is a smokescreen.
I feel like, because I deal, Marcus's mom has a set of medical issues. My little sister that's 25 has severe medical issues with her heart. A couple of other people that we're close to have, my grandma has dementia. And when I look at, you know, I'm trying to do all this research on what's best for each person, and everything is so contradicting.
It's so contradicting.
Especially like my mother-in-law has 2 different sets of medical issues. Both, if I were to go down the list of what the doctors say she can eat on one of the issues, and then on the other, she can't eat anything. I mean, and she gets frustrated at that. She's like, well, I can't eat that because my other doctor says I can't have it.
Right.
And it's one of the most frustrating things in our current medical state in the world.
Yeah, the white coats need to get together.
Yeah, they really do.
Well, they're not trained in nutritional sciences. And the challenge is 100% of people eat. So you got to nail that.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the white coats need to get together. And there has to be a higher standard of the influence of nutritional sciences. It just has to be. You know, they haven't changed the protein recommendation since the 80s, at least.
Yeah.
You know, and then we had the food guide
sitting in the
pyramid.
Classroom with the projectors when those little films yeah. come up.
Yeah, kind of, it hasn't. That's right? A really good point. It hasn't changed since then.
Weren't those great?
But why is that? It feels like just medicine as a whole. I mean, evolved. If you look back in the early 1900s, it was a lot of apothecary type yep. things, just different mixes of very, you know, base level plant medicine type stuff mixed together. And then you go into all of the like new age prescription things from the 50s and 60s, and that is what we're still on.
Yeah.
It drives me freaking crazy.
Policy, politics, money.
Yeah, money.
Influences everything. It just does. It influences everything. It influences, you know, you have, I'll give you an example. You know, you have commodities. Commodities are whole foods like egg, dairy, beef, pork. They are under, you know, the USDA. Mm-hmm. And then you have processed foods that are under a different jurisdiction. And the collective marketing budget of these commodities, these whole foods from small farms, $750 million. Collectively, they all pool their money together and they come up with slogans like, I say beef and you say,
yeah,
what's for dinner? Or I say milk and you say, does the body good?
Mm-hmm.
Versus PepsiCo has, I don't know, $2 billion. That's one company is under a different jurisdiction that can make outrageous claims about their food versus the commodities can say it's part of a healthy diet. So that is an example mm-hmm. of why the information is so skewed, because the landscape is not even. The landscape with the conversation, the landscape to get to the public is not even.
Well, and they've really made it almost impossible for a local small town farmer or rancher to sell their food.
Yep.
You can really only do it at a farmer's market.
Yeah.
Because there's so much permitting that goes into having your meat packaged, or like if you go to, like we, our son Axe just killed his first deer, and we wanted to give, I wanted to give the meat out to different friends, but they package it so much, like do not, this is only for the person intended packaging for, and it's like, well, of course we know that, and our friends are going to be okay with it. But wouldn't it be cool if he could sell that, or if anybody could sell that stuff? And you can't.
Oh, regulating humans is tough.
Yeah, the regulations on just everyday people is awful. And that's where you know that the food is just real and whole. Nothing's being added to it to be able to make more money.
Yeah, the safety and the packaging.
Mm-hmm.
When they say that, because I mean, people, if you go, if I go, it's same way with the coats. Mm-hmm. Like with the people in the lab, they're like, "Hey, this is take this, and this is going to do this." Being a SEAL, that we're experimental.
Yep.
Like they'll say, "Hey, like take this, kids might be born naked." I don't know, they might not. Dude. It might be like, "Oh, sure, take it." And at that age, we don't care.
Yeah,
we don't freaking care.
That's right. Yep.
There's a lot of the stuff out there that you don't know that's not monitored by the FDA. And during quarantine, when people started second guessing some of our facilities, that was terrifying.
Yeah.
That one got my attention.
Mm.
Like when our people, when I was like, "Hey, what does he say?" Or were they, "What do they say?" And then everyone was like, like, "Ooh." So that one was kind of, I get where some of our people think like that.
Mm. It's like where you want approval from government. Yeah, because
you get onto one of them, like, "Hey, where are they raised? I mean, look at the stuff around them. Like the farmers around, what do they do?" Because out here, you can see it. Everyone, and you know them, they go to church together. Then, you know, if you mess up, they're going to come over.
Yeah, you trust the people that are growing
exactly
the food.
I'll tell you, that's probably how town started, right? It's like, "Hey, man, he does this. I trust him." That's huge. The overall trust that we have with each other.
Yeah.
You lose that. I mean, I think that's why America stands like it does, is because of that.
Yeah.
But there's so many people that live in areas that they don't have access to farmers markets, and you just go to the grocery store and everything, you don't know what is in your food.
Yeah. Choosing Whole Foods mm-hmm. is ideal. And, you know, people always talk about shopping at the perimeter. Nutrition shouldn't be complicated.
So what do we do when we start January 1st? Yep. What are we going to do?
The first thing that you do is you prioritize dietary protein. Things like lean meats, chicken, beef, dairy, Greek yogurt, things like that. Whey protein shake, make it easy. Mm-hmm. That is the, if someone did just that, focused on understanding how much protein they need, and typically a recommendation would be 1 gram per pound ideal body weight. Get a fitness pal or a chronometer. Make it super easy. Everybody has a phone. We're all geniuses now. We all have phones. It's amazing what you can pull up.
Mm-hmm.
And prioritize dietary protein. Do that one thing. People will change their body composition. You will lose fat. You will have more energy. It is so simple. So 1 gram per pound ideal body weight. So how much do you want to weigh?
I'm 228.
How much do you want to weigh? 220?
228.
He likes where he's at.
Perfect. So about 200 grams of protein would be great for you.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done this. My brother and I were talking about this the other day, to cycle what actually works on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that'd be amazing.
If I just ate vegetables and was vegan for two weeks and some change, right? To get everything flushed in there and then see how that made me feel. Mm-hmm. And then switch to this one. And I finally did that actually during Lent when I gave up everything and was just trying to figure out what worked. There are some people down here, like I have a natural craving for a steak.
Yeah.
When you don't eat it, you feel bad. When you do, you feel great, and it makes you perform, so you know. And then there's some people, they can't.
Yeah.
We have entire sections of people down here that can't drink alcohol. You put that in them, and they'll turn crazy. I mean, they'll just go wild. They have these inflammations. It's the wildest thing. And when someone explained to me, he's like, "Hey, man, there's 4 different blood types down here. Like, just, you don't even have the same blood as me. What does that even mean?"
Mm-hmm.
Like, you run on a different fuel than I do. And I'm talking the difference between a spaceship, a rocket ship, and maybe a boat. I don't know. You never know what walks in the door. Plus, it could have hybrids.
Right.
So off the arc, 4 blood groups, 8 different or 8 different blood types, right? Or groups. I'm saying that backwards. But when the doc's like, "Yeah, man, completely different fuel running you." That's got to go into something of how we eat.
What do you think about the, there's a lot of talk about eating for your blood type.
Yeah.
What's your thought on that?
So there isn't evidence to support it.
Okay.
again, there isn't evidence yet to support it. Mm-hmm. I think that if we focus on fundamental principles, mm-hmm. then we know that we can do really good things.
So what you've learned is that eating the 1 gram of protein, just as a general rule, per pound, that has actually changed the shape and look of your skeletal muscle.
Thousands of people.
Okay.
The book has tracks in it, weight loss track, longevity. See, here, at the end of the day, what do mm-hmm. we care about? You care about how you can live long, maybe long is the wrong word, but healthy and capable,
yeah.
so you can be with your family. So happy. What are the ultimate outcomes that you want? Mm-hmm. You want to be able to spend time with Melanie. You mm-hmm. want to be able to spend time with your children. You want to be able to do and be of service to the world. The way that you're going to do that is if your vessel is physically capable.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. How do we support that? You support it by the musculature. It is your architecture, period, end of story. Mm-hmm. If that goes, everything else goes. Skeletal muscle is not just about looking good. It's not just about being strong. It's your metabolic driver. It's oh, sure. all and that leads of these to everything other things.
Else. Yeah, right.
So if our ultimate outcome is how we show up to be of service and how we show up in the world, then you have to prioritize that thing.
Good.
And the concept of eating high quality dietary protein and creating a nutrition plan around that mm-hmm. is supporting the architecture of your body. Everything else falls into place.
So what does that look like? Like for how many grams of protein you need, yeah. what does that look like on a daily basis?
Yeah, make it out. Let's make it super easy. Depends on how many meals that you want to eat. You don't have to go as high as 1 gram. How many meals do you eat?
I'm like a 2 a day.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. So for you, I would say the first meal of the day is critical. You'll get 40 to 50 grams of protein. That could be two scoops of a whey protein shake. Maybe it's, I don't know if you eat this for breakfast, but we do in our house, 5 ounces of a lean meat, whatever, mm-hmm. some vegetables, maybe you'll have some fruit. Then your last meal of the day would be something similar. Depending on what you did for training, you might have some carbs, might have 40, 50 grams of carbs. That could be a cup of rice, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And you've got two large meals that are balanced.
What about time of day?
Great question. Doesn't necessarily matter.
Depending on the person or what they're doing or just
consistency. So eliminating chaotic eating is better. And your body knows what to expect. Let's say
that's hard for some people. Mm-hmm. You're talking about like college living where you can't.
It's all excuses.
Of course, they don't care about it.
Wait a second. I was doing this when I was in college. How do you want to be? We set standards.
That's dedication.
We set standards. I've been doing this since
that's
college.
That's why you're in that seat because you have.
Right? I've been doing this since college. I'm telling you. I can see on deployment it would be hard. Mm-hmm. Okay, but if you are not on deployment, mm-hmm. then there is no excuse. There is no excuse.
Mm-hmm. Man, it was easy. It's just the options. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. Is the options.
So that is why when we started this out, Hunter asked us, okay, what was the Patreon question? We do not set goals. Mm-hmm. We set standards. Once you set a standard, because you are the type of person that prioritizes protein, that prioritizes the gym, doesn't matter how you feel about it, you're the type of person that plans for their failures, you know that you're eating at 10 a.m. That's the time that you eat breakfast.
Mm-hmm. But you already do that. Marcus has like a hard end of day eat time, so you already do some I had to standards. Train.
The best
way it was explained to me is your mind, body, and your spirit. Mm-hmm. Like your avatar that you got stuck in down here has its own like three things mm-hmm. that are stitched in it. It will do automatically, even if the mind doesn't even want to do it, mm-hmm. especially if it gets worked up. You have to learn how to train this thing. You have to work with it. You talk to it.
I love that. I never thought about it that way.
And I mean, when you explain it to me like this.
So I want to hear more about this. So we are given an avatar.
Right. Mm-hmm. So mind, body, and spirit. We've heard it our whole lives.
Yeah.
Some people are born body people. You can see when they walk in the freaking door. You're not born like that. Mm-hmm. You have to earn that. And when you walk in the door, not only do I know, there's something that tells me without you having to tell mm-hmm. me that. I know you can take a routine. I know you can take pain. Mm-hmm. And I know you stick with it. It tells you so much. most people, when they're born down here, the athletes, and when they're born into the body, they don't like going to the schoolhouse. Like the nerds and the geeks, the mind people, they don't like going into the gym. Mm-hmm. So I ask people, like, hey, why do you go to that gym? Why do you work out that way? It's like, because it does this to my body. It makes me feel like this. I'm like, okay. All right, same way with the mind people. You can't identify them till they open their mouth. And they can hide themselves in plain sight. A lot of them just sit and listen, right? And I'm like, hey, why do you go to that schoolhouse? Why do you study that philosophy? What did it do to you? Because when you manifest something in there, you know, when you run across somebody that's highly intelligent, you can listen to them for days. No matter what they're talking about, they have a way of explaining something to where not only do you hear it, you can hear it.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Makes sense.
What's the third avatar?
Your spirit. Mm. You know when they walk in too. You can usually smell them. They'll hit you with a Bible. They got bees hanging everywhere or something.
That incense.
Yeah, incense. They're pacifists. You recognize them. They identify themselves with the clothes they wear. They hate going to the gym. They don't go playing sports. They don't like getting hit. I mean, that's a true spirit you're dealing with. Knowing what happens when you train the body. Arnold Schwarzenegger is a perfect example of vision. With 2 weeks, you can change this thing. That's why they say it's made of clay. God, you can mold it into whatever you want, right? Knowing what happens when you train the body and does that. What do you think happens when you train the mind? We know that too. You ever seen anybody train all three of them? A mind, body, and a spirit? Probably not. They're freaking rare. I mean, they're rare.
That is like, the human weapon.
Hey, you can't imagine what you walk into when you see that. Human
weapon.
Because you can't hit them. Because the eyes eat first. Mm-hmm. So as soon as something walks in the door, especially with those physical realm people, they're like, hey, I know I can physically, whatever. I can see your weaknesses and your strength and stuff like that. Right? And the same way with the minds. They're like, hey, if I can't get you physically, then I'll crush you mentally. And you know as well as I do, people can talk. Team guys are great at it. They can talk. It's called breaking your will. Like some people, I've seen professional fighters that have been fighting forever. Just another guy get in your head and talk you down. Right? Well, if they're educated on that, you can't break them mentally. They're like, okay, well, I'll come at your spirit then. I'm like, oh, you're walking with Jesus, then I can't. And then you got me all three. I'll go deal with that one. Mm-hmm. Because I can't get to you. And all it takes is literally going in there and being a part of it, just developing that routine. So that's what had to happen with me. I wasn't born with all three. And life will put you there too. Like those of us in the body, eventually your body will start to way down, or your body will get so good that it'll crave the knowledge of why it's like that. And if you got a spirit in there that can drive that sucker, I mean, these people that we, like, especially in our generation, like our Nitro Circus boys, that take it just to the extreme and everything they do, whatever's driving, whatever is contained inside that sucker is amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's trying to break out, and it's talking back and forth to itself. And when he explained it to me like that, I was like, oh, yeah. I wish I'd have known that back in the day, because I'd have looked at everything a little different. I'd taken my schooling a little serious. My church, you know, when I go to hear the Bible, that's like the instruction manual. Oh, that's what he said to me. He goes, you got a kick-ass car outside. I was like, did you read the instruction manual? No. No one does. You can't believe
true?
What that thing
is
can
that,
do.
That's people so
like,
true.
I got it, man. It's got whistles and bells. It talks to me. I'm like, yeah. And they're usually this thick.
Yeah, I know the basics.
Yeah, the basics.
Yeah.
And you can survive down here with the basics. But if you've ever walked across somebody who's read the manual in the mind, the body, and the spirit, like when I pass out gifts now, I'll pass out Marcus Aurelius's Meditations, the Bible, and then Arnold Schwarzenegger's Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding, Mind, Body, and Spirit. You know what I mean? It's just like you hit, if you can train all three of those, they feed themselves too. Mm-hmm. Like the confidence comes when you build this, and someone was the first time I put a gun on my hip, changed things.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
First time you got a wad of money in your pocket and you don't have to worry about it anymore. Like when you get that education in your mind and you know when you walk in, they don't know what you know, there's a power that goes with that. I think the most dangerous thing we do is put kids in positions of power that have never had it. You know what they feel like? It's kind of a weird morph they go through, especially if it's ultimate power. I've seen this say, hey man, you got to start that kid in the mailroom.
Yeah.
And let him
them
grow.
Work. Yeah.
Bust his ass. Don't even tell him who he is. Just yes. Kick the crap out of his entire life, man. Yep. Then he finds out what he's for. It's a completely different attitude. It's the human condition. You know, we are what we are. I mean, it's the funniest thing is like knowing how successful we can be when we all work together. You think everyone would just fall right into that.
Sure do.
But we don't.
So
it's amazing.
talking about the skeletal muscle, this is super interesting, especially for the kickoff of New Year's and how everybody wants to get back in shape just from the holidays. Do you have to, when you say to start doing that with your eating, do you want them working out at the same time, or do you want them to eat first, start to feel better, and then do it?
Yeah. So here's what I'm going to say.
I never even thought about that.
Here's what I'm going to say. Before anyone goes into, oh, I'm going to start, I want this to be the last year that we have to have this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Last year. You know, next year, January 1st is going to come. So is it going to be exercise? Is it going to be diet? The reality is it's going to be both.
Both, of course.
And yeah. I know people are going to say, well, I'm going to start with one and I want to start slow. Why? Mm-hmm. Who told you that? You have to eat. 100% of people do it.
You got
to
do that.
Mm-hmm. You got to do that.
When you talk to them like that, like, hey, just put this in your house.
That's it. It has to happen. So
are you cooking every meal?
No.
Okay.
You were telling me about organizing all this stuff. I outsource everything.
Do you?
I'm sorry. It's just the reality of it. I run a handful of businesses. I have a medical practice. I have two more books coming. I'm a terrible cook. So the reality is I know my weaknesses. I plan for those. So I have someone come in and cook.
Oh,
and
you do.
Everybody doesn't have to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's also, people will say, I can't afford that. Yes, you can. How much are you spending when you go out to eat? Yes, right. You can. You reallocate those funds.
Oh, what are your habits and hobbies?
Mm-hmm.
There's always something. There, yeah,
so
yeah, I get
so
that.
It is just about,
I get that one.
About being disciplined. So yeah, should you be training? Yes. Should you go hurt yourself and do all these things? No. Should you get on the cardio equipment and that would be your start? No.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to figure out if you can do push-ups, if you can do squats. It can be body weight. You have to move against resistance. It could be a band.
Mm-hmm.
I do not care. Please do not tell me that walking is exercise. Walking is something you should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
It is baseline activity for life. You brush your teeth, you walk, fine.
Mm-hmm.
That is not enough. You know, we're not looking to have a mediocre vessel.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, to rebel.
We're not.
Yeah, start yelling at you.
Mm-hmm. We're not. Yeah. Because what is the aging process of that? So yes, my answer to that would be both. And no, it is not difficult. It is as hard. It's difficult if you have a narrative about it.
Mm-hmm.
The best of the best are neutral. They have a neutrality of, it's not that big of a deal. It's not your last meal. It's not, oh my God, this workout is such, they're neutral. You know, and what I didn't get a chance to say earlier is that, who do I take care of? Who do I serve? I serve two main groups of people. I take care of special operators, former special operators. I work with Kirk Parsley. I sit on the SEAL Future Foundation. I work with Hunter 7, Early Cancer Detection, Task Force Dagger. I love this population. They are my people.
Mm-hmm.
I get them. I'm married to one. This is a group of people that I have learned so much from in terms of being a good doctor. So that is one group. The other group of individuals that I take care of, they're very entrepreneurial. They are motivated. They're mavericks or innovators. And these could be moms. They could be looking for weight loss. It doesn't matter what it is, but it's an archetype of a person. The best of all of these people have a handful of things in common. Number one, they don't have a narrative about it. There's no narrative.
Mm-hmm.
They execute on the plan. Whatever, if we decide they're going to be doing 3 days of resistance training, they do that. If we have to prioritize sleep, which, you know, is not fun, but has to happen, they're neutral.
Oh, yeah, I forget how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're neutral about it. And so there isn't a narrative, and they expose, do they feel worthy
mm-hmm.
of the fitness and the body and et cetera, right? So the no narrative, they're very disciplined. The key to longevity isn't all the stuff we're talking about. You know that? The true key to longevity...
Oh, sure.
Is actually just discipline.
Discipline, period.
That's it.
I preach that on stage now.
That's so hard, though. A lot of people don't have it.
That's the problem.
No, no, no. It's what they don't have is they don't have knowledge of the moment before the lack of discipline.
Mm.
So something happens, whether it's a moment of discomfort or maybe a subconscious thought or something else.
a holiday, a freaking phone call. But there's you something there's before. So many things you can stick in that.
But there's something before it, and maybe it's a discomfort of, you know, like when I sat down to write any of my stuff or my book or whatever, it's hard. Mm-hmm. And there'd be moments where I'm like, what the fuck is this? I have no idea. Mm-hmm. And then I get up to do something. Mm-hmm. And I kept catching myself because I was being undisciplined. But I was being undisciplined because in that moment right before, I was uncomfortable. I couldn't surf the urge of discomfort, which then took me 6 more months to write the book because I wasn't being disciplined. Mm-hmm. So the key to longevity is discipline and being able to figure out whatever that moment is right before. And it could be discomfort. It could be, who knows, whatever the thought is.
So do you ever have moments of weakness when, like with food? Do you celebrate eating a cake or something? Or are you just written that off for knowing that health prioritizes taste or whatever it is?
Great question. So I think that the bigger question is, number one, these foods aren't bad, mm-hmm. right? They is a place for all of them. The bigger question is the integrity that you've made with yourself. So for me, if I know that I am eating clean 5 days a week or 6 days a week, and I plan, okay, well, this one day I know that I'm going to go out to eat, I have no issue with it mm-hmm. because I have a plan for it and I've created an integrity about it. But if I were to say, oh, well, this day I'm going to go out to eat here and I'm just going to have this, and it wasn't structured and there was no plan for it, then you're not setting a, I don't know if the word is tradition, you know, like I was asking you guys before, because mm-hmm. I have these two little kids, how do you set tradition? And you know what you said to me? We have dinner every night together. Mm-hmm. If I called you and I said, tomorrow, what are you doing with your family? You're having dinner with them. Mm-hmm. So with the food and with the behaviors, you have to plan for it. So if it's going to be something that's off your plan, then you understand and you've created that. It's not on a whim. So do I have cake or whatever? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's planned for. It's not a spontaneous, I deserve it. It's none of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the switch on us because we're not doing it for ourselves. Like, hey, man, I got to eat like this so I can hang out here. Mm-hmm. That was just the way it was. And if you switch the mindset on them as opposed to like, oh, I can't eat that because it does this to me. I'm like, no, I can't eat that because it not only does it do this, but I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Or the respect level that comes with that. Right. Like I can give you everything, but not give you discipline. You won't hold anything. I can give you discipline and you'll get respect. Because everyone respects that. When we walk in, there's a dog sitting there laying around. There's one that's sitting up. Ears up, that looks like it's been trained. Everyone recognizes that. Mm-hmm. Everyone says, man, did you see those kids? They're well-mannered, well-respectful. We even do that as adults. When someone walks in the door, like, look at the way they look. Look at the way they walk, right? And the moments that they, when something happens, who loses their cool, who doesn't? We respond to that very quickly.
Mm-hmm. So when you're teaching these methods to your clients, do you usually see a result, or do people get frustrated that they don't see results?
No.
Because there's a difference between when you got to stay on them. Mm-hmm. Some people are like that. They'll say, I don't like being yelled at, but if you don't do that, they won't go.
I mean, I'm sure there are patients that haven't gotten results, mm-hmm. but no. I mean, we hold them to the standard that we know that they can handle.
Yeah, that's
mm-hmm. We hold them to a standard. You know, if you're coming in to see me as a patient, mm-hmm. we are on the same team. We're on a team.
Yeah.
And if we decide that we are doing this thing, we're fucking doing it.
Yeah.
And we're doing it together.
That's the standards. That's huge too. The discipline and the standard of what you're trying to accomplish. Like what you see when you walk in, like Marines in the uniforms. I mean, you never seen one out of shape Marine in that freaking uniform. And no matter how much we make fun of the Marines and we go back and forth, and I mean, we SEALs and Marines are notorious for that. If someone ever asks us about those freaking uniforms, be like, hey, they look good. I'll give them that, man. They can scrap and they look good in those freaking uniforms, yeah. man. And there's a standard there.
That's right.
Now, other Marines won't let them get out of regs.
Yeah. And I think that this brings up a really good point is having a teammate mm-hmm. that you're doing it together. So if you don't have a friend that you're doing this with, then you should have a provider or somebody, mm-hmm. you know, and I will say for, again, portion of my practice, all military operators, dude, rope in that.
Oh, you tell them that? That's good. I never thought about that. Like, go get somebody.
Yeah, you gotta rope them in. Special
team guy, swim buddy. There's always two of us. You always put them in pairs. Yeah, you gotta
rope in somebody else. Because you might not be willing to do it for yourself, but you're not gonna.
That's right.
You're not gonna fail on someone else.
You won't slack on that other one, though.
You know, so for training, I have two little kids. You think my husband's up at 4 a.m. running. You think I want to get up that early? Mm-hmm. What do? I have a training buddy. I have it set up where I'm showing up at the gym. I'm not going to let that person down.
Mm-hmm. That's the worst and the best. Like, God, I don't want to go. I mean, you can, because you will last minute it to the getting out of bed, 100%, everything.
100%. Every single day.
I know they're there. And they're thinking the same thing.
Every single day.
And you
day.
Want to call them and you'll be like, no, damn. Ugh. And
every then you get single in, every day. Single day. Every single day.
We didn't talk about that. We should have. Because people are like, hey, with the diet, do you ever get like, you want to eat them? Like, yes, every time.
Every day. But you expect it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's coming.
Are you kidding? I'm already talking myself out of tomorrow's workout.
That never goes away.
I am talking.
I think people think that goes away. It doesn't. Like, man, it's always there.
No, and I'm already trying to talk myself out of tomorrow's workout. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I know I'm going to do it.
Because you have your accountability partner, too, that's going to call you.
It's annoying. Yeah. I don't want to go tomorrow. Tomorrow's like Christmas. I don't like
that. So tonight, me and this one got to go jump. We got to go do our polar plunge at midnight.
If it wasn't midnight, I would be inviting myself.
That's a Christmas tradition.
I've been doing it since I was a sophomore in high school.
Can we consider at some point doing two and readjusting the time? Because Shannon and I will come.
But if you can do a video, this is like we all hear.
I would totally do that.
We got guys in the other neighborhoods. We've all been doing it for years.
Does it have to be midnight?
Christmas Eve at midnight. That's why it sucks. Awful.
That's like married person.
I know.
3 a.m.
It's terrible.
Yes, it's awful.
It is. It's terrible now. Last year we did it. It was the coldest day in history.
That would be so fun.
Had to set my alarm to wake up just to take pictures of him coming back in. And I mean, to
the point what you were talking about for the last few days, I've been trying to talk myself out of it.
Of course you are.
Of course
you know you're into it. That sounds like so much fun.
Tonight I will be up with him and we will be in that water. At midnight, if y'all wondering what me and this my oldest over here are doing, we'll be in the water.
Yeah. And then, yeah.
I love that. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Those are those traditions that I started. And
I love that.
And now that he's in it. I'm not going to let you this morning. I was like, okay, I really don't have to do it because I already passed it to somebody. I kept it alive. And I was like, nope.
You got to do it still.
See, hear him over there. He's like, hey, look, if I got to do this, you do.
Oh my God.
And that's the most important thing about having that partner, a teammate, somebody just light a fire in your ass, man. They don't care.
Because here's the reality, right, is we're on this aging trajectory. And it's not going to get easier. We all know what the end result is going to be.
It's almost just like our overall God's intentions so you learn how to deal with that. Dying, aging.
I mean, you've had a very unique perspective on it that the rest of us will never have. Most of us will never have. And there's a lot to be learned from that.
I saw death early. Mm-hmm. And someone had to point this out to me. It's like especially a lot of our teammates, all the funerals, we're usually in our 70s and 80s when we have to start dealing with that. That's why older people act the way they do around everybody. They want to see them real quick because they don't know if death is right there. And that one hit me pretty hard. I couldn't figure it out either. And I was like, it's bound to death. That's why when I'm with somebody, it's like, hey, man, first impression, they'll always remember that. Give them the time of their life. I mean, have the best moment you can with anybody, whatever it is you're doing. I don't care. Team guys are great at that. Mm-hmm. And I try to remind myself all the time what I am. I try to remind team guys, too, when they're like, you know, I'm kind of down. I'm like, well, suck it up, man. You're a freaking team guy.
So you want to know our family motto? I probably should never say this, but I'll say it. DBAP. This is what my husband tells me. You know what that stands for?
What is it?
Don't be a pussy.
Yeah. Always say it out loud. We didn't abbreviate it. We get the M. My brother.
I say that.
She says it to her kids. Like, I think my sister, I love her too. She, the other day, she's like, oh, don't be a pussy. I'm like,
yeah.
I love you. Ride or die. So, freaking chick.
I had to call some movers out a couple months ago. I hired some movers to move something.
This actually happened.
And he said something was too heavy. I said, don't be a pussy. I literally hired you to carry this.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So is there anything else from your book that you want to tell our listeners just for overall health, not just a New Year's thing, but
yeah,
starting in January.
Yeah. Setting the standard from now on.
So this book, are you ready for this? This is mm-hmm. my first book. The first week outsold Arnold Schwarzenegger.
What?
So I don't know. I think you should replace his book with mine. And outsold our Atomic Habits.
What?
It's a New York Times bestseller.
Oh.
Congratulations.
First week.
Nice, okay. nice. That feels good, doesn't it?
You know why it feels good? Because it wasn't about me. This is about a mission that can change the narrative of medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Congratulations.
The New York Times bestseller list hit all the lists.
I love it.
Publishers Weekly, all the lists. This book is a game changer when it comes to understanding what's happening in our world about the information we're getting. And it's actually very practical. Mm-hmm. Tells you what to eat, how to work out, how to think about it.
That's great.
And why you should do it.
Have you done, I'm so stuck on the brain scans just because I'm dealing with my grandma with dementia right now. Have you, since you started doing the skeletal muscle?
It's called muscle-centric medicine.
Okay, so since you've been doing that, have you actually like requested brain scans to see how people are doing?
It's a really great question, and I typically will send them out.
Okay.
There are certain brain scans that I think everybody should do, especially operators. Mm-hmm. Transmagnetic stimulation. Don't know if you guys have worked with them. Okay, yeah. So the Wave Neuro guys, I have many of my patients doing it. And then I will say that one thing that I'd like to see everybody do is Prenovo scans, full body MRIs for
I should prevention. Do that anyway as soon as we get
but
out.
How do you?
In and out, actually, just to get
yes,
a reference.
So yes, we should. It is something that is a goal of mine to see if we can start having operators. And by the way, I say operators, but it really should be operators and their teammates. It should be operators and their wives.
But what about just for everybody? I mean, I feel like just there's...
Well, in our world, you start with us and it works. Yes. That's with anything.
Yes. It does, but there's such a huge need and just the general population of needing these scans.
No, the brain scan would not be the first thing because if you are doing the things that need to happen middle age, mm-hmm. then you can prevent later life dementia.
Okay.
So midlife dementia is really about, the majority of it is about metabolic control. It is about making sure that your insulin levels are lower, that your blood glucose is controlled.
Oh, hell, we drink too, all that, man. When we get in there, once your body gets damaged and you throw that in there, that's a different story than somebody who's just boozing it up.
Right.
Well, and alcohol is just killing your body.
I mean.
And when it's broke open on the inside, and it's kind of like, yeah.
So there are things that we really do need to consider. So brain scans, I think the first thing that people should do is have routine blood work. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot that you can tell from routine blood work. Scans are expensive for people. Is there something that you can do once you get a scan? CT or MRI, not necessarily. Again, it depends on what we're looking for. But as a routine thing, might not be ideal.
What are your favorite supplements for people
yes,
to take?
Yes, I would love to tell you that. So there's something called MitoPure. Mm-hmm. I think that nearly everybody should take it. It is urolithin A, and it's a postbiotic, and there's so much science behind it, and it helps with strength and endurance. It's as close to exercise in a pill that you will find. But what I love about it is...
You say exercise in a pill?
In a pill.
Oh, same thing. Yeah. Okay.
As close as, I mean, it's phenomenal. So that would be one of my favorites. Vitamin D. Mm-hmm.
But what brand? Do you have a certain brand that you like?
So the MitoPure mm-hmm. It's called from Timeline.
Okay.
And that's amazing. The fish oil. So you should definitely be taking fish oil. So First Form makes a great fish oil. There is, Designs for Health makes a great fish oil. And if people go to my website, I have a whole list. Mm-hmm. I put together a list.
That's one of those you should just take when you hit a certain age anyway.
You should be taking it now. My kids take it. So I give my kids fish oil and vitamin D. The other thing that people... So we've got fish oil, vitamin D, urolithin A. If you don't eat red meat, I think creatine is a great choice. And a solid good multivitamin. Doesn't have to be crazy.
Mm-hmm. And you have all of those on your...
On my website. Yeah. My website's drgabriellelyon.com. I also put out a newsletter that I review studies. So there's things that we think work, and then there's certain things that we know work. Mm-hmm. So I always review literature, and I make it really easy to read. Like, here's a study. This is what I think that you should be using based mm-hmm. on this collective amount of data. I think is very important.
When people get... Say they have the heart condition, and you treat both patients the same way, mm-hmm. then they get frustrated about the same way when they read stuff in the book. Hey, this thing's designed different, each one of them. So you can have the same condition, but the fuel affects that thing differently.
Yeah, and that's, again, it goes
so
back to...
So people just take the pace, just take time. It's so people get frustrated, and that's the most important thing you should remember is, like, that happens to everybody. It's just relax.
See, yeah, that goes back to that neutrality. That goes back to the neutrality. Don't hype up. Don't get too high. Don't get... there you go.
Are you open to taking other patients that aren't operators or through 107? So yep. They can go on your website and request a consultation with you.
So I have a full team.
Okay.
And they're very capable. Again, we see moms, we see everybody. We do weight loss, we do hormone replacement, we do all of it. Mm-hmm. So they could just go to the website, which is drgabrielleline.com. We do.
Do you see a lot of people now with different autoimmune issues?
I do. We treat those all the time.
I was diagnosed several years ago, like in 20, probably 10 years ago, with Hashimoto's.
Yep.
And I feel like I've heard different things from so many different doctors or dietitians or different people, but I'd be curious to know what your team says.
I treat Hashimoto's. Mm-hmm. All the time, and many patients go into remission. The reason someone doesn't go into remission is because you're not finding the underlying cause. Mm-hmm. How long have you two been together?
13 years. Mm-hmm.
Typically, what I have seen that 27 hours. Are you ready for this?
4 days.
I got really good at treating some of these things because the operators would come back with a lot of gut issues. Mm-hmm. Tons of gut issues, and one person would be symptomatic, either the team guy or maybe he wouldn't be, but then all of a sudden the wife is symptomatic. And so oftentimes with underlying Hashimoto's, there could be an underlying parasite or an underlying bug that was picked up that was never treated. Mm. And you pull that linchpin, you treat both people, and you address, obviously, diet, et cetera, and Hashimoto's gets better.
You gave me your bug.
Oh, did you catch that by the time
you
I showed up?
Might have given it to me. Because when
I
met him...
I got some funky stuff right here. I mean, you can't believe what they talked in here, girl.
Every operator. I mean, are you
all
kidding?
Of my brothers, we got it.
Well,
there is something live in here. Let me just put it up.
At least five different things. Every operator.
At the very least.
I've never had an operator.
I thought about naming them.
Yeah.
Well, he specifically.
Norma. Yeah. Norma.
What's up?
In operation.
Makes sense now. Probably did freaking.
When he was in the village.
Yeah, that's why I asked. So I'm telling you, I take care of. Yes.
When he was in the village during Operation Red Wing and he was in there for days, he drank out of an old Pepsi bottle and filled it up from the creek and had a parasite. For years, and I met him 5 years after Red Wing, he still had the parasite. And the doctor, he went to so many different gastro, no one could figure out what the parasite was. And then all of a sudden, it goes away, and I get Hashimoto's.
So there you go.
You're welcome.
You gave me your bug.
So this happens all the time. This happens all the time.
Right, and about the time I started feeling good, too.
Yeah, so this is not uncommon. It's not actually, you guys are laughing, it's actually not uncommon. Mm-hmm. And I treat it all the time.
God, that thing
and
jumped
I do
on
have
me. I
major
could...
gut. Like yeah, I have the you know leaky gut, whatever.
So this is common. I hear it all the time. Mm-hmm. We treat patients for these things all of the time.
I will be calling you.
We got here. She's right here.
I know.
We're buddies now. Freaking husband's teammate of mine.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything else you want to share about your practice or anything?
This is actually, oh my gosh, I know you guys won't come, but I'm inviting you anyway. We are doing the first ever Forever Strong Summit, January 13th and 14th in Austin. Jason Redman is coming. He's going to speak there. He's a longtime patient.
No red.
So he's a longtime patient of mine.
Oh, nice.
So he'll be there and we have amazing people. So if you guys are in Texas or not in Texas, January 13th and 14th, they can go to foreverstrongsummit.com, check it out. I strongly recommend people check out my book. You can get it wherever books are sold. It's called Forever Strong. Podcast, which I'd love to have you on, the mm-hmm. Dr. Gabrielle Lyon Show. Podcast and newsletter.
I'll talk medicine with you all day.
Yeah, I love it.
Thank you again. Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.